Remember now, there's no charge for Rhodes Charm School for Housewives, but classes are limited, so do register today. That's Rhodes at Temple Bar 54321, extension 200. Say you got nothing to do, gals? Here's something for you to do. We have with us now on the line from San Francisco, attorney Melvin Belli. Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Fine, this is Van Amburg on KNEW Radio.
Tell you.
I read your letter to the editor in Playboy magazine, and I wanted to get some comments from you if I could today, inasmuch as Jim Garrison is back in the news, and quite big with his some of his statements about the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
I haven't seen that, but I think I've said a few things about the Federal Bureau myself. This releasing of a medical record or whatever it was on Garrison is despicable. This is the modus operandi now, unfortunately, in our government. When someone comes up with something unpleasant against a government officer, they leak, and it couldn't be anything else but this. They leak his medical reports, or they leak something, and they don't give the full story. They give something to make it seem that the man is psychotic or a kook to the newspapers. I think this is worse than anything that was ever done in Hitler's Germany. I think the most despicable thing that I've ever heard of. And how the hell that could have gotten out of the Pentagon without a deliberate leak from someone in one of the other government authorities. You scratch my back and I'll do it for you the next time. I just don't know. It's a hell of a way to start a new year.
Well, now, Mel, you said in this letter to the editor that you talked with Garrison privately in the Bay Area. I know that you were together quite a bit. He told you some things in private that, although they hadn't changed your mind on the basis of the Warren Report, you still thought that the government should open up this case again.
I think the government ought to open up, or we the people, wherein sovereignty resides in this country, ought to have the case reopened, not to prove or disprove the Warren Report, but because there's so much ominous and sinister and Black Dragon and James Bond maneuvering going on, and we're in such disrepute abroad because of some of the commercial aspects of people writing books to try and show that the Warren Report isn't good, that we ought to show to we the people just what happened. And I'm satisfied that when we do, that we're going to show the bona fides and the authenticity of the Warren Report. So I'd be scared to death if we go out and get our best politicians, in the good sense of the word, Warren and the rest of them down the line, and something came out that they were either fooled or they just weren't telling the truth. I think it'll be proved absolutely that they were telling the truth, but Jim certainly should have his say.
Well, you said that he showed you things in private that made you think a little bit, although it didn't change your mind. Do you still believe Oswald was the lone assassin?
I certainly do. I haven't seen anything that would make me think otherwise. There are not rumors. There are some isolated peripheral facts that you wonder how they happen. I'll tell you one of the wildest ones that has happened to me so far. I was in here finishing, so I'd get it done last year, my new book, The Law Revolt, and I was working late on Christmas Eve. A man comes in who, to me, is an unimpeachable cab driver, and he tells me, and he was pretty scared when he came in here, he tells me that he had Jack Ruby in his cab 2 days before the assassination of the president, and he told me that Ruby had told him, in a very excited manner, "You don't know who I am, but you'll read about me. I've got to go back to Dallas and kill a man." Now, this is the wildest thing that's ever happened. This fellow is not a nut. He's been to the FBI. I don't want to give you his name because everybody would probably be chasing out there. I did give his name to UPI, and they're checking him out. As I certainly don't want to get into more of the Ruby thing or the assassination. But when these things pop in like this, then I think that we've just got to have another investigation, another report on the thing.
This was Christmas Eve, and you were working in your office, and a cab driver you know to be unimpeachable said this.
That's right.
Well, do you still believe Jack Ruby was not involved?
Jack Ruby told me that he was in Dallas all of that time, and I just can't account for this. The cab driver could have been mistaken, like we can all be mistaken on alibi testimony. Lee Bailey did a talk for me recently on one of my Belli seminars, in which he showed in some of these cases how these eyeball witnesses can be absolutely and completely wrong. Now, maybe this cab driver, who's a bona fide cab driver, made a bad identification, but he recalls the fellow showing him identification and him saying to himself, "Boy, I got a kook in the cab this time." And why was all of this going on, to build up a record to show that he was here or wasn't here? I don't know. These are the things that disturb me. But the things that disturb the people in America are some of the reports given by some of the writers who aren't so very honest as to the facts that they're purveying.
Well, Mel, here are some of the statements made by Garrison that have concerned a number of people that we've talked about. One, President Johnson, quote, knows very well that Lee Oswald did not pull the trigger, unquote. There is a danger that secret files about the assassination may be changed before they're released to the public.
Well, that I could believe. I've seen enough government changing of records and FBI changing of records, and this is on the record, to know that that could be done. But on the first point about LBJ knowing about this, I just don't think so. But who am I to say?
Well, you're a very successful barrister, sir.
Who am I to say that the Constitution has been changed so that the President and Congress doesn't declare war anymore? You know and I know that that Bay of Pigs thing, when it came out, that here the CIA, a secret branch of our government, is training our troops down in Central America to invade another country. Well, that completely changes our form of government.
Absolutely. I also know that the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution does the same thing.
Huh?
The Gulf of Tonkin Resolution does the same thing.
Just about. Some of these things are real wild. So with so many people flying around on broomsticks, who am I to say that it isn't Halloween every day in the government?
One final question, Mel. I know that you have an appointment right away.
A little queer, too, you know.
What's that?
Some of those Texans are a little queer. I was down there.
Well, how about that, then? Let me ask you about the city of Dallas, because you made some remarks about the city of Dallas.
Yeah.
Are you still of a mind that there was no conspiracy in that city?
There are more nuts in Dallas than there are in a fruitcake, and I don't mean the type of nuts that you put in a bug house. These are the type of nuts that will take their money and send it out to right-wing organizations and really send substantial sums of money to, indirectly to change the form of government. I know that money is pouring into Sacramento at the present time to, the man up there.
Well, I want to ask you one final question. Garrison said the Kennedy family is not aware of the real conspiracy to kill the president and because they had to depend on Johnson and Hoover for the facts. Now, I'm wondering, since the Attorney General of the United States at that time was Bobby Kennedy, the brother of the president, could something like this, in the wildest form of imagination, have been concealed from him?
Pretty hard to believe, and pretty hard to believe with that dynasty and so fond of everybody in the family and having so much money that if they thought someone had assassinated the brother, the head of the family, and if they needed any help, money, or otherwise, it would be inconceivable to me that they wouldn't have had it, wouldn't have gone out and made their own investigation. Now, that's the thing that I just can't understand.
Well, Mel, I want to thank you very much. You're always a great interview, and you...
Much to it, other than my own doubts expressed now and at least consolidated in that there should be another report, but not for the purpose of disputing the Warren report, for the purpose, I think, of proving it eventually, but we've got to do something. If you're abroad, all you do is talk to a cab driver, an elevator boy, or a waitress, and they'll tell you, look, 80% of them over there will tell you that the Warren report is inaccurate. Now, that's an awfully rough thing.
It certainly is, and it certainly hurts our government in trying to do things in those areas.
Yes, it does, more than you can send all the material aid, but then when they're taking that and they say, well, look, you talk about democracy, but when the chips are down and they execute the president of the republic, then you say you have sovereignty and we the people. Well, we the people don't find out the truth, and then they tell you about the Lane book and the rest of these books here. So we'll see what this year brings. But, you know, Jim says that Shaw will never come to trial, that they'll assassinate him before he gets to trial.
Boy, it makes you think. Mel, I want to thank you very much for being on with us.
Now give us a call. I think Jim will be out here pretty soon, and he was going to talk to the press club, and I was going to host the meeting, but he's coming out pretty soon, and we might get a chance to talk with him and see what he has to say.
I would like that. Thank you so much, Melvin Belli. Bye-bye.
My friend.
Bye-bye. Mel Belli in San Francisco. And, well, you heard it. You draw your own conclusions, but it was startling to me.